will dog belong to? Oh, it might be theirs.
It's yours.
Good morning, my name is Johnny. Welcome to the Unity Center for Positive Living. We're glad you could join us this morning. Now I'd like to read to you from the Daily Word, today's opening message. For Sunday, June 16th, the Father's blessing. The affirmation is, I bless my Father with loving thoughts of gratitude. Today I bless my Father and the Father figures I have known with thoughts of love and appreciation. The man I call Father may or may not be related to me, but he has touched my life with love. I give thanks to those fatherly figures who selflessly gave their time and love to help me grow into the person I am today. Their demonstrations of patience showed me how to give others space and time. Their humor and lightheartedness taught me not to take myself too seriously. Their guidance and trust encouraged me to be independent and trust myself. I would not be the person I am today without the lessons of love and wisdom shared by my Father. In so many ways, he gave me a strong foundation on which I built my life. I am grateful and blessed with all that he has given me. And from the Bible, honor your father. That's Matthew 15:4. And now it's time for assuring the presence. Please join us in singing while Joyce leads us in assuring the presence. Song. Joyce will lead us in our welcoming song, I Am the Radiant Life of God, on page 183 in your hymnals. Please stand if you wish, and don't sit down afterwards because we're going to greet each other.
Back.
Hello,
You got two juries now, that's gonna make it easy.
You got a workout yesterday?
I'm glad you could come and join us on the podcast.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Morning, Ethan.
Good morning.
Happy Father's Day.
Thank you. Good morning.
Good morning.
Morning, how are you?
Good, well, how are you?
Morning, Jerry.
Welcome, thank you.
Good to see you.
Very.
How are you?
Alright.
I don't think we get these two bad spirits at the same time, Jerry. Have fun today, Jerry. Happy Father's Day. Yeah, kids. Wow, good for you.
Happy Father's Day. Hey, happy Father's Day, John.
Yeah, that wheelchair works perfectly.
Good.
I had no trouble with that or nothing. Working well, good.
Good job.
I'm the lady with the marshmallows.
All right, are we all greeted out? Now it's time for announcements. Does anyone have any announcements?
Yes, I do.
Joyce.
Can you see what those are?
No.
Marshmallows?
Yeah, what kind of marshmallows are those?
Jet Puff, Rainbow, Scooby-Doo?
No, they're llamas.
Oh, they're llamas?
I thought they had llamas. Susan brought these, and I'll share them with you. You guys can eat as many marshmallows as you want.
Llama
marshmallows. Llama and cactus marshmallows.
Oh, boy. That's the best announcement we've ever had. Susan.
We have an opportunity for three people to read in the next 3 weeks. So if you would like to be a reader, you can put your name on the door.
All right. Anyone else? Anybody out there in Zoom land? No? Okay, let's proceed then. We are at our Unity Statement. Please join us in the Unity Statement we will say together. We believe in our oneness with all life and the power of love. We teach universal principles and values as taught by Jesus and others, revealing the one God presence. We practice prayer, meditation, and service to be conscious of our oneness in God. It's time for our song of joy. Joyce will lead us in I'm Gonna Sing on page 326 in your hymnals. Please stand if you like.
God is saved by the Spirit. Thank you.
reading. This morning our reading will be given by Susan.
First, a bit of local history. Father's Day is an annual holiday honoring people's fathers and celebrating the fatherhood, paternal bonds, and the influence of fathers in society. It was first proposed by Sonora Smith Dodd of Spokane, Washington in 1909. In 1966, President Lyndon Johnson signed a presidential proclamation declaring the third Sunday of June as Father's Day. In 1972, President Nixon established a permanent national observance of Father's Day to be held on the third Sunday of June each year. That's today. Next, four dad stories. Talking is like ketchup. I sat in my dad's living room reading one night while he watched television. An hour passed before I realized it, and I felt bad for not speaking during that time. I asked if he was okay, and he said yes. Then I apologized for not talking more. "Carmen," Dad replied, "talking is like ketchup. If you like the meat enough, you don't need the ketchup. And if you like the company enough, you don't need the conversation." My dad never earned a college degree, but he was the smartest person I ever knew. Carmen Mariano, Braintree, Massachusetts. The Hitchhiker's Guide to Family. "Linda, look at the map!" My father slammed on the brakes, glaring at my mom. He didn't believe in excessive planning, and so each summer we embarked on a spontaneous family road trip that didn't always go smoothly. There were lots of late night panics to find hotels, stops to ask for directions, and elevated tempers. One night, we picked up a hitchhiker somewhere in Kentucky. As we blasted the radio and my dad bought us all ice cream, the hitchhiker told me he'd give his life to have what I had. Rachel O'Connor, Westtown, New York. Big shoes to fill. I cleaned out Dad's closet yesterday. There were two things I couldn't box up, his work shirts and his two pairs of Red Wing boots. He couldn't remember birthdays or anniversaries, but he remembered the date on which he got the first pair. I remember it too, April 16th, the day after tax day. What does a child do with her dad's favorite boots? I think I will make a planter of them, or use them to store something important. You can't throw away a man's favorite boots. You've got to keep them and pass them down. Teresa Arnold, Tioga, Texas. Look it up. I was reading an article in the newspaper when I came across a word I didn't know. "Dad, what is the meaning of the word ostensibly?" My dad, as he usually did after work, was watching his favorite show. "You have a dictionary, don't you?" he shot back. He didn't even look at my face. I went back to my room, and there on my study table was that dictionary. 10 years have passed, and I still use that dictionary along with the lesson I received early in life from my old man to be self-sufficient. Saurav Bapa, Bangalore, India. And finally, Dad wisdom. That's supposed to be funny. I'm feeling like I ran up here. I feel like I'm out of breath. I don't know why. Okay. This is called Understanding Our Father by Thich Nhat Hanh. When David was young, he was very bold. He declared, "I do not want to have anything to do with my father." But is it possible for us to not have anything to do with our father? Can you take your father out of yourself? When you look deeply, you see that you are the continuation of your father. You are your father. There is no escape. So if you declare that you don't want to have anything to do with your father, that is only your anger, your wish. In reality, that is impossible because you are your father. It is better to reconcile with your father within you. It is better to reconcile with yourself. One day after crying a lot, David sat down and began to write a love letter to his father. Because of the insight that came from that practice, he was able to see his father's suffering and his own ignorance. I told him, if you don't practice, you will transmit that suffering to your children and your grandchildren. You practice for your parents and for your children and their children. When you are able to make a peaceful step, it is not for you alone. You do it for all your ancestors, and you do it for all your children and future generations. When you are able to smile, all the ancestors in you are able to smile. It is very important. You need a Sangha to support you for that smile to become possible. You may think that a smile is nothing, but it is a lot. With a true smile, you make all generations of ancestors in your smile. It is liberation. It is transformation. Every mindful breath in, every mindful breath out, every peaceful step, every smile is an act of liberation. You offer liberation to your ancestors and to your children.
Thank you, Susan. And now it's time for our meditation song. Please join us while Joyce leads us in quietly. On page 105 in your hymnals, you may remain seated. Time for our affirmations. Please join us in the affirmations and say them together. I am the love of God in expression.
I am truly
thankful for all the good I already experience. I am growing more prosperous with every day. I am healthy, active, whole, and happy. I am always growing and expanding into the fulfillment of my potential.
And I am at peace. Knowing
everything I need comes to me in perfect time, in perfect way. This is the third Sunday of the month, so today we'll be reciting the Progressive Lord's Prayer, followed by the Hallelujah. Well, please join me. Our Creator, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, O Lord. I am thy kingdom come, I am thy will be done. I am on earth, even as I am in heaven. I am giving this day daily bread to all. I am forgiving all life, even as I am also all life forgiving me. I am leading all people from temptation. I am delivering all people from error. For I am the kingdom, I am the power, and I am the glory of God, in eternal immortal manifestation. All this I am. And now it's time for our speaker. Most of you know we have a different speaker each Sunday of the month, and this morning we will hear from licensed Unity teacher Mariette Jones, whose topic will be The Power of I Am.
So, the power of the I Am. I'm going to read Genesis 3, 1 to 13. Now the serpent was more crafty than any other wild animal that the Lord God had made. And we're going to find out later the metaphysical interpretation of this story. But I want to bring to your attention right now that the serpent represents, according to Charles Fillmore, the serpent represents the human self, our senses. So I'm just going to read that opening line once again for you to consider. Now, the serpent was more crafty than any other wild animal that the Lord God had made. He said to the woman, "Did God say, 'You shall not eat from any tree in the garden?'" The woman said to the serpent, "Oh, we may eat of the fruit of the trees in the garden, but God said, 'You shall not eat of the fruit of the tree that is in the middle of the garden, nor shall you touch it, or you shall die.' But the serpent said to the woman, 'You will not die. For God knows that when you eat of it, your eyes will be opened, and you will be like God, knowing good and evil.'" Isn't that interesting? There's a lie. God knowing good and evil when God is all good. Very interesting. So when the woman saw that the tree was good for food and that it was a delight to the eyes and that the tree was to be desired to make one wise, she took of its fruit and ate. And she also gave some to her husband who was with her, and he ate. Then the eyes of both were opened, and they knew that they were naked all of a sudden, and they sewed fig leaves together and made loincloths for themselves. They heard the sound of the Lord God walking in the garden at the time of the evening breeze, and the man and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord among the trees of the garden. But the Lord God called to the man and said to him, "Where are you?" He said, "I heard the sound of you in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked and I hid myself." He said, "Who told you you were naked? Have you eaten from the tree of which I commanded you not to eat?" The man said, "The woman whom you gave to be with me, she gave me fruit from the tree and I ate." Then the Lord God said to the woman, "Well, what is this that you have done?" The woman said, "The serpent tricked me and I ate." Power of the I Am, remembering who and what I am. Let's explore a metaphysical interpretation of the Bible story in Genesis, Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden. So we are going to use Metaphysical Bible Dictionary, which is one of the basic books of Charles Fillmore's inspired thinking and teaching. Adam, in his original creation, was in spiritual illumination, but he began eating or appropriating ideas of two powers, God and not God, or good and evil. Good, not good, good, bad. Bad is actually the word we use a lot, right? So the allegory says that he fell away from spiritual life and all that it involves. Adam began to think he was separate from God, and he experienced shame. Hence, the representation of shame is in the covering of his nakedness. This story of Adam and Eve eating of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil is a fable to teach humans about how we create duality in our belief system. Good and evil, oneness, separation. On this physical plane of life on Earth as we know it. When we look deeper into the story of Adam and Eve with metaphysical interpretation, we can learn how to navigate the waters of duality. So Charles Fillmore says, humans are spirit, absolute and unconditional. And we also form an Adamic consciousness into which our divine self breathes the breath of life. So Adamic consciousness, we could also call our humanness. This Adam is all of what we term soul, intellect, and body. We are continually at work with this Adam. We can breathe into his nostrils, and nostrils represents openness to the inspirations of spirit. We can breathe into his nostrils the breath of life in all its unlimited fullness. Jesus said that. Remember when he said, live life to the full. Our knowledge and use of the I am power is what breathes life into the nostrils of our Adamic consciousness, or also known as our humanness. Our human self needs the assistance of our divine self to be lifted up, to be raised up into the higher consciousness of living life in all its fullness. So I also think of the story of Jesus raising Lazarus from the dead. So our Christ raises up our human consciousness into life in all of its fullness. Let's go to Eve now. Let's think about Eve. Eve represents love or feeling in individual consciousness. The I am wisdom puts feeling into what it thinks. So head and heart becomes in sync with one another. So Eve, feeling, becomes the mother of all living. Feeling is spirit, which stimulates. Woman symbolizes the soul region of humans and is the mother principle of God in expression. So back of the woman or feeling is the pure life essence of God. So this is why when we use affirmations, we use lots of feeling. It's important to infuse our words with lots of feeling, feel the truth as intensely as we can in order to bring it forward into reality. The creative word becomes stimulated into action when we feel the validity or the truth of our words. Garden of Eden represents a pleasant, harmonious, and productive state of consciousness in which are all possibilities of growth. So the Garden of Eden represents divine consciousness. When humans are expressing in harmony with divine mind, bringing forth the qualities of being in divine order, they dwell in Eden, a state of bliss in a harmonious body. Charles Fillmore reminds us that Adam and Eve together represent the I am identified in life substance. So they are the primal elemental forces of being itself. This is what we rely on when we create. This is where we get our creative power, the power of the I am. The I am that is our essence. Let's go to the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. That represents the discerning capacity of human beings. So now this tree is closely related to individual free will, which is in direct touch with the serpent or selfhood. The snake in this story represents self and the senses. Charles Fillmore says the branch that separates itself from the tree of life withers away and dies. Jesus talks about that. So a belief by the ego that its life, substance, and intelligence are self-derived cuts off the source of supply, and the ego begins to revolve in a mental vortex whose dominant tones are good and evil, birth and death, duality. So when the I am assumes mastery over the soul, it brings forth only good. When we remember who we belong to, all good. What is really real, what we really are, the truth of our being, then we can begin the work of taking mastery over our belief of duality and us and them thinking. So we use I am statements. We can take mastery over victim thinking and blaming impulses. Look at Adam blaming Eve. Eve blaming the snake. So this is our humanness in charge. When we put the I am in charge and use statements with feeling, we can raise ourselves up with the truth. We overcome error thoughts and erroneous ideas. For example, if we're feeling victim thoughts, I'm not loved or I'm unlovable, we can replace that error thought with a truthful I am statement. So let's just stop for a minute and use the I am love. Now just affirm that for yourself. I am love. And put lots of feeling into those three words. I am love. Breathe into your nostrils. Be open to that idea in all its fullness. And feel it as intensely as you can, the truth of it. I am love. And you see how all the rest just dissipates and disappears because the truth of your being is in charge. You've put it in charge of your thought right now. We are creative beings creating new beliefs and therefore a new reality. We step into the Garden of Eden, harmonious in body, mind, and spirit when we use our I am. The name of God within ourselves. The I am is the name of God within a human being. Charles Fillmore believed there was great power for transformation in identifying with the words I am. If you can think of yourself as spirit, as having all power and capacity, what is the result? Why, you begin to expand and you go up onto this high place in your consciousness. You begin to realize that I am being lifted up. And as I lift up my I am, why, all of my thoughts are attracted to that high place because it is the magnet. It is the focal power of all ideas. Going to stop sharing now. So one example I had of balancing the I am with our humanness is and how that can get very much out of balance is when we feel or believe in a lack of love that we can experience addictions in our life. And science is now agreeing with the fact that if you have an addictive personality or you have a lot of addictions, whether it's emotional eating or whether it's more serious with narcotics, whatever it is, it's a symptom. It's a symptom of experiencing a belief of separation, a lack of love. It's really good that science is looking at the reasons why addictions happen, because now we can, as a society, practice more understanding and wisdom towards people who suffer in this way. And we can even look at our own selves and how we experience addiction. So, for example, myself, I like, in my past, I have struggled with addiction. I like eating. Emotional eating is a thing for me. I struggled with an imbalance in alcohol, you know, drinking too much. And when I looked at my life, it was a definite imbalance. I was looking for love or covering up my hurts with sensations. I was believing that I could find my good out there. And I really didn't know the power of the I am. I wasn't conscious and deliberately using it. So there is always a reason why people make the choices they do. And it is really a search for love, albeit sometimes a misguided, tragic search. So we can give ourselves over to pleasurable sensations because we discern that, you know, this is the sweet sensation that I'm experiencing from this candy, for example. When I'm feeling stressed out, if I grab for a candy, lately I've been saying for myself, well, wait a minute, what if I just take a breath and just settle myself. So pay attention, become aware of what I'm feeling. Am I feeling sad? Am I feeling stressed? Am I feeling lonely? What's going on? And when I become aware and take a breath, I don't need the candy because I've addressed the root of my problem, right? So for me, there is nothing like chocolate ice cream to bring back fond family feelings of being for a ride in the country when I was a kid and stopping for chocolate ice cream and just bringing back all those lovely feelings. So sometimes in the summer, I can eat just a tad too much chocolate ice cream. that connection to love that I'm always striving for, when I remind myself I am love and settle myself into the truth of my being with the power of my divine self, I'm okay. I'm okay without the chocolate ice cream. I can get the connection without it. So I wonder if you can think of an example for yourself, how you strive or look for what you need in ways that might not really provide it for you or may put you out of balance, and how you can use the truth of your being to guide yourself from that place into a place of, you know, harmonious living, body, mind, and spirit. So I think what I'm going to do now is move into meditation. And you can think of your example from your own life of how you want to lift your humanness, the things that you struggle with, or the one thing that you're thinking of right now that you're struggling with, and bring that to your divine self, your I am, in meditation. So just get comfortable in your seat. Let your seat support you. Across all cultures, the heart represents the essence of our being. That being we call the I am. The heart beats, flowing life energy into every part of you. So now settle your attention on the natural rhythm of your breath. Notice the sensations as you breathe in and out. Notice your shoulders, your chest, your belly move as you breathe. Visualize, if you will, a happy memory. With your mind's eye, you see this happy memory. Spend a few moments observing the sights and the sounds. It may be the face of a loved one or the beauty of nature. Breathe it in and feel it as intensely as you are able. Focus your awareness on how this experience feels in your heart. There is a saying, speaking from the heart. We are now breathing from the heart. We are now breathing from the place where I am resides. And you can bring your struggle to the I am and let it minister to you in this moment of stillness. The wisdom is there for you right now. So spend a few moments enjoying the sensations of breath flowing through your heart in the silence of the I am. Just for a couple of minutes. Now, when you are ready, return to this time and space, feeling refreshed, enlivened, rejuvenated, knowing what you are. I have a little quote that I want to share with you. I don't know who said it. I believe it goes along with my theme for today, the power of the I am. Believe that life is good and that any bad can be made better. Once you're able to do this, you are unstoppable. You are unstoppable. Blessings to you.
Right, thank you, Mariette, for that wonderful Father's Day message. Well, now, but just a few more seconds of quiet time here, folks, while we reflect on today's message. Now it's time for a healing prayer. If you would like to focus on our collective group healing energy for someone, speak out their name or hold them quietly in your heart. Members of our church have requested we send out healing prayers and energy to all people and animals displaced by war and natural disasters, the members of our communities who struggle to meet basic human needs, and those we've lit candles for, and those you can mention now. John here, Dixon, Sue Chris, beloved Mother, Father, God, we ask for the highest and greatest good for all and endeavor to see them through your eyes, knowing all is in divine order. Amen. That's our opportunity to give. We are so grateful to be in the spirit of generosity by giving of our time, talent, and treasure. We welcome each of these gifts from you as a member of our spiritual community. Let's say our offering prayer together as we hold our offering in our hands and hearts. Divine love, through me, blesses and multiplies all that I give, all that I receive, and all that I am. Oops, I missed one. Let's all say the blessing of thanks together. We bless these gifts and send them forth to heal, bless, and prosper. They are evidence of our faith and belief. They do good work in the world and return to us multiplied abundantly. And so it is. Now it's time for a prayer of protection. Let's all say our prayer of protection together. The light of God surrounds us. The love of God enfolds us. The power of God protects us. The presence of God watches over us. Wherever we are, God is. and all is well. Now it's time for a peace song. Let's all stand, form a circle, and join hands in preparation for a song of peace. Now while you're moving, let's express our gratitude to those who made our service possible today. Our speaker, Marriott Jones, our reader, Susan, our musician, Joyce Merrick, and thank you for the slides, Joanne. Next week, our speaker will be Eileen Selleck. Please stay with us for a few minutes if you wish to visit on Zoom or join us downstairs for food and fellowship after the peace song.
Gratitude for all your wonderful dads.